Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. One of the most unique natural corners of the world, and the nature calling this corner home, goes on display through the Discovery Channel next month. Serengeti depicts a year of wildlife among this African landscape, narrated by Oscar Lupita Nyong'o. Emmy-winning producer and director John Downer joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, day 2 of the TCA Summer Tour and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a trio of audiobooks when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Glad you're with us for the second of 3 episodes this week of the program All About Television. 82 degrees at the top of the hour. We're with you an hour later than normal because of the special press conference involving the Asian American International Film Festival. More on that coming up a little bit later on in the program. And we are delighted to have you with us. Great guest in store for you, and we invite you to be part of the program. All it takes, a phone call from you. So give it in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number's good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio and Spreaker. Chat room is open for business as well. It's SimonApple04 by name. And you'll find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. So either way, phone or chat room, we get you involved. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions. Other people can be live with you. From Serengeti, Emmy-winning producer John Downer joins us live after these news notes. TNT was center stage this morning for day 2 of the TV Critics Tour in Los Angeles. The highlights of the presentation goes like this. Keenan Ivory Wayans will be the showrunner of The Last OG with Tracy Morgan in 2020 when Season 3 launches. Animal Kingdom will be back for 5th season next year. And All Elite Wrestling, TNT's first such weekly offering in decades, will debut this October. No formal title for the show is in place yet. And in other news involving Warner Media, HBO Max will over time deliver live sports and news programming to smart TV sets and TV connected devices. That news comes from Randall Stephenson, the chief executive of Warner Media parent AT&T. HBO Max is slated to launch next spring. Stephenson made the news during a conference call on AT&T's latest quarter report this morning, which Warner Media made a big, big difference with. Also, we've learned the last half hour that TV Land has renewed Younger, that's their only comedy and original series starring Sutton Foster, for season number 7. There's also some unconfirmed reports that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, remember that series from the BBC, was on PBS here in the United States. Well, there may be a revival of that series based on the famous Douglas Sloan novels, and Hulu may be part of that. We will have to wait and see. And that is news notes for today. Our guest today is Emmy Award-winning producer and director of Nature Programming, and his latest work will premiere August 4th on the Discovery Channel. It's called Serengeti, and it's about a very special corner of Africa. The narrator, the Oscar-winning actress, Lupita Nyong'o, joining us live in an internet radio exclusive, John Downer. John, great to have you with us.
Well, great to be there. Yeah, feel honored.
It is a pleasure. And where are you calling us from?
I'm calling us from the Los Angeles, the Discovery offices.
Well, it's great to have you with us, John. What makes Serengeti a special corner of Africa?
It's filled with the most incredible animals. Animals that are familiar to everyone, and their lives and their stories are out of this world. It's a really, really special place, and it was my dream to be able to make this, you know, series there. And, you know, what we captured in terms of the animal behavior and everything was beyond my belief.
What finally made the journey happen? How long have you thought about covering Serengeti? For a year, much less a few weeks?
Well, it's... Yeah, I've filmed there many times over the years, you know, and I've been making wildlife films now for about 30 years, and so it's always been close to my heart. But the fact was that Simon Fuller, who's, you know, famous for American Idol, etc., I mean, he came to see me because he'd just been there on safari, and he was blown away when he heard about the stories that lay behind these animals. He didn't just see them as animals out in the bush. He saw them as families with problems and, you know, ambitions and everything else. And he was thought, this is the most incredible story. And he came to see me and asked whether we together could create something that, you know, presented a new view of these animals. And so that's where it all began. And it was a 3-year journey. I mean, the filming alone, although the story set over a year, we were filming for nearly 2 years. And you know, then another year of editing, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a really, you know, it was a labor of love, but it was quite intense because, you know, to fill those 6 hours with incredible story, incredible behavior, all shot in a totally fresh and new way was, you know, quite an ambition at the beginning and, you know, great relief at the end.
How do you describe the fresh new way, and how does it work with the main storyline, which is how does this environment and the animals in it thrive and survive over the course of a year?
Well, we wanted to look at their family lives and their emotional lives and their personalities, things which are normally ignored in a conventional documentary but are very, very real because, you know, these animals live incredibly complex lives. And also, within that place, that amazing place, Serengeti, those animals interact all the time. So the actions of one animal, something that happens with them has impacts on all these other families. So we wanted to show that. And we wanted to show that by, you know, a visual style that took you into the animal world, that saw the world from their perspective, that followed them at their ground level, you know, where the animals live, you know, and be tracking with them and getting the viewpoints of any when interactions were happening, that we had this subjective viewpoint, seeing what they're seeing. So, and we're putting it together like a drama rather than a documentary. And so what we would do would be following, you know, individual animals we got to know and love, and, you know, their stories became the heart of the narrative, and they were almost writing the stories as they went along. You know, we were just there to document it, but we also put it in dramatic form, so the storylines would intertwine, and you'd see the impact of one event and how those impact on the other. And so that took place over the course of a year, and it was the seasons then were also driving the narrative and how the seasons change, you know, the problems for these animals, and we were looking at how they solve those problems.
We have someone in our chat room, Simon Apple04 by name. Welcome aboard, whoever you are, and if you want to be involved in the program, put your comment in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. What are some of the wildlife that this miniseries follows?
Well, we follow some of the most, you know, the most charismatic and well-known animals. They're, you know, a family of elephants led by a matriarch. She's just had a baby, and her teenage son is getting to the stage when he has to leave home. We've got this incredible story of Carly the lioness, who has had cubs with a male from outside the pride, tries to take them home, is exiled after a terrifying fight with the pride males, and her story, how does she survive? And one of my favorites, Bakari the baboon. Baboons are rarely featured in nature documentaries, but they are the most interesting and probably the closest to us in terms of the problems in their lives and the way they solve it. But Bakari the baboon is a love-lost male baboon who wants to be the leader, and the leader has stolen his favorite female. So these are incredible stories that play out across the whole series. But we also have, you know, less than known but absolutely, you know, wonderful animals, you know, the warthogs, the mongoose, the leopards. You know, it's full of amazing animals doing amazing things that we would never, when we started, a lot of the time, expect to ever capture.
Serengeti, Discovery Channel's latest miniseries, premieres on Sunday, August 4th, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time, 6 hours in length. We've got the Emmy Award-winning producer director of Serengeti, John Downer, with us. He's live from Los Angeles this half hour on Suwabi Televised. Second of three episodes we're coming your way this week with the program All About Television. Simon Affine with you live from New York. It's 82 degrees top of the hour, much less humid, a little warmer than yesterday, and absolutely gorgeous. You might say one of the picture-perfect days of the year here in New York, and I hope for many of you across the country and around the world. If you have a question or comment for John, ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next Tuesday, the annual Asian American National Film Festival here in New York is doing something they have never done in their four decades plus of existence. They are presenting a night of TV series pilots, at least five of them, and they will be screened in Manhattan. We will have the first of a two-part segment on those pilots Friday on Suwabi Televised. Our first half hour, we'll bring you three of those pilot makers, and on Monday's episode, we'll bring you the co-producers of another. And that's just our first hour, our first half hour. And our second half hour, Harvard Entertainment Research yesterday came out with a fascinating study about how people are using their smart TV sets and smart devices and how they maybe not and could. We've got the co-author of that study, David Tice, in our second half hour on Friday. And wait till you hear about what you can do with a smart TV set and device that you can't do because you don't know how to do it. Well, if you don't know how to have a smart TV set and smart device, have a listen to the program on Friday. I think it'll be a big eye-opener for them. That's the Asian American International Film Festival Pilot Showcase and David Tice with Hollywood Entertainment Research all Friday at a regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. This is a don't-miss episode. I think you're really going to enjoy it. John, when people know your Emmy-winning work, they often say that with each project, you try to bring some new visual effects, some new visual technology in play to capture the natural world. For Serengeti, with 6 hours to play with and all the footage, what new did you do in your filmmaking this time around to capture the story?
Well, I think the big change for me was the fact that when we set off, we used a lot of the spy camera techniques which I've used over the years and developed, and they've got better and better and better, and you can get into the animal world, you can be at their level, you can have buggies roaming around and being part of the family, and they get used to that, and remote cameras which are fired just by the presence of the animals. But I wanted to do more on this, so I knew I had to do more, and that was that whenever the cameras were on the move, when the animals were on the move, the cameras were moving with them, capturing that intimate viewpoint as they traveled. And I was very lucky when we started that all this new stabilization techniques and camera techniques to keep, you know, rock steady pictures when you're moving and have them strapped to any kind of device, including vehicles, but also buggies, etc., etc., so you could film the animals when they were on the move. So much so that we could be, you know, running with a wild dog, with our, you know, the vehicles, not running ourselves, but the vehicles traveling, a wild dog traveling at 40 miles an hour, and still capture stable, mind-blowing images of, you know, being basically one of the wild dogs running with the pack. And so that was a big change for me, and it was the perfect time for that change because all this technology was starting to arrive that allowed us to get this kind of very different, energetic view, but very much that immersive view in the animal world, which is what I've sought all my life. So that quest for getting closer and being more involved in those animals' lives has been with me from the very beginning when I started filmmaking. I think now I've got to the point when I have all the technology and ways of filming that I need, you know, to tell the stories I want to tell, you know, of these incredible animals.
Mm-hmm. Whenever we have people involved with nature programming on, we always have to point out that in many respects, it is the toughest genre of programming to put on camera because you can't direct Mother Nature or Father Nature. You can't tell a gorilla, all right, when the camera goes on, yawn. Or you can't tell a flower, all right, when the camera's on, open the bud. Have you come up with, over the years, like do's and don'ts about how you get nature when nature decides, all right, I'm going to put on a show?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest change I think that's just happened over recent years is, and this is linked with the fact you can film on the move or whatever, is that you could now, well, when I started, you probably only captured about, put on film, you know, 10% of what you saw. Now I think you only miss 10% of what you see, because the cameras are rolling from the instant you see something, and you can be traveling towards them and still filming. So that's upped the amount of incredible behavior that we've been able to get. We had three crews, you know, all filming, and so you never know, you know, when you set out what you're going to get. And but what we could do, and initially, you know, knowing the behavior of the animals and what we're likely to get over, you know, over that the course of that year, you could, you know, make a storyline based on what you're expecting. But what we have to do is let the animals inform that storyline and change that storyline, you know, when some amazing event happens. And the amazing events happen more often than we could have ever believed. I mean, these are probably once in a lifetime events. Quite often, you know, some, you know, never been captured before. Some we never believed. You know, we wouldn't have even written it into a script. So we were informed by the material that we were capturing, and that so the script and the storyline would change, you know, almost daily to make the most of these moments that we were capturing.
Mm-hmm. In any nature part, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I was just saying, but at the heart of it, you know, the fact is, you know, I have an incredibly experienced team, and they understand these animals. And, you know, collectively, just on the camera crew alone, you know, there's over 100 years of experience of actually filming African animals. So they can almost read their minds. You know, that's very helpful. They can, so they're, and part of the thing is, what are they going to do tomorrow? You know, this has been the problem today. You're thinking like the animals, and you're saying, well, where are they likely to be tomorrow? You know, or do they need water? You know, they haven't drunk for a while. You're going to go to the water hole because you know they're going to set off tomorrow and go there. You know, but all those little things, they're almost instinctive in a way when you've spent your life with animals. So you're being guided by that knowledge, but still the animals offer their surprises, you know, and so you can't presume anything. You just set off with an ambition, and that ambition changes normally for the better by, you know, what the animals are telling you.
Two elements that certainly can make or break a ambitious nature program of this kind is the narrator and what that person brings to the table, and the music. And let's start with the narrator. You have a luminous person narrating Serengeti. That's Lupita Nyong'o, Oscar winner, was in Black Panther, so many good movies, stunning person. Really amazing. What was it like working with her?
Well, I think luminous is just the most incredible description because it's so accurate. She is just, you know, she is stunningly beautiful. She has a beautiful voice. She has a calm personality. But for me, what was really important is she came from that area. You know, that was really something that gave her an authenticity that came from the heart. And she loves those animals. And she was brought up among them, and she used to visit them as a schoolgirl, you know, on school trips, which they'd take her out into the bush, and she got to know these animals. And, you know, that authenticity you can't, you know, create. You know, that's there. And so she was totally committed to it, and she has such a beautiful, beautiful voice. And it's almost ethereal and very, very different. It feels of that place, and that's what I so loved about you know, her and what she brought to the project. And she, her enthusiasm was incredible. I mean, she's amazing.
Did she have a chance to attend a shoot before she went into the studio to narrate?
Could you say that again?
Yeah, did she have an opportunity to accompany you in filming a sequence before she
No,
that
was the biggest regret, because she would have loved to, but she was just too busy, you know, because she's so in demand. And I know that's something she's going to do, you know, in the future, because she so loves that place.
Behind John Downer, he is the Emmy-winning producer director of Serengeti. It's the major new nature miniseries coming up on August 4th on Discovery Channel. That's on a Sunday night, 8 p.m. East Pacific time. John joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Don Abnon with you live from Nueva York, where it's 82 degrees top of the hour. Absolutely gorgeous day here in the Big Apple. Hope it is wherever you are. And we invite you in our remaining minutes with John to give us a call. Be part of the program. Interact with us. 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, DiamondApple04 by name. And coming up shortly, our classic trivia question of the week. We have two prizes in play. If you missed the question on Monday, we'll repeat it for you today. So get your pen and paper out because you could be our next trivia winner. The other element besides narration is music. Who did you get to do the music, and what kind of music did you want to accompany the visuals?
Well, I've been working over the years with an amazing guy called Will Gregory, who's part of the band Goldfrapp. But he's a multi-talented musician that takes influences from anywhere and everywhere. And I worked, obviously, with him and with Simon Fuller, who obviously lives and breathes music. And we wanted a score, you know, that was derived from Africa but wasn't the conventional African clichés. You know, it was an emotional score that was also had a modern edge to it. And it was a combination of electronic and orchestration and voices and even songs, which was a really big feature of the production that is not normally used in a natural history film. So at the start, you know, there was we obviously discussed it at length, and Simon was really influential on that side of things. And Will Gregory delivered this fully emotional score that was full of surprises, but always, you know, the right tone and the right, you know, feeling for any scene. I mean, he saw his role as enhancing those emotional moments, you know, the ones that allow us to connect with those animals and their troubles and their family lives. And so that was the driving force of the whole thing. And then we had, you know, Lola Lennox, you know, daughter of Annie Lennox, you know, bring her magical voice to the place as well. And so, you know, it was a combination of things. And as anything, you know, it evolves and grows. And he started very early in the process rather than just being, you know, brought in right at the end. So the editing and his music were going hand in hand, and I think that's, you know, was something quite unique as well.
You must love the timing of this, given how successful Disney is doing with its new live-action version of The Lion King, which made $185 million at the box office last week, and looks like it may be on track for maybe, what, $90-$100 million again this week.
Yeah, to be honest, it's an amazing coincidence. I mean, people might think we planned it, but that's just how it happened, and it's wonderful. And I think I haven't been able to see it yet. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. It's just been, you know, a mad week for me, but I can't wait to see it. But it's interesting that they're going the, you know, almost photorealism route, you know, and obviously our show is realism, so, you know, it's the real thing. So that's going to be quite an interesting thing to look at. But I think they probably complement each other very well.
In the end, what's the big theme or the big point that you and Simon want us, the viewers, to take away from watching Serengeti?
I think it's difficult to watch Serengeti without realizing that these animals, these incredible animals, you know, are so connected with us. We once walked those plains, you know, humans live side by side, but, you know, early humans live side by side with these animals, and they wouldn't have seen them as so different. You know, they would have understood, they had to understand their behavior, they had to understand their motivations, they had to, you know, live their lives, you know, to survive alongside them. And I think what we've tried to do is to make that reconnection, that you connect with the animals in a different way than, you know, is normally portrayed, that you're actually understanding, you know, the commonality between their lives and our own, and what we are hoping to bring, and as you'll see it across the course of the series, you know, how connected we are and how little different we are from these animals. We live in cities, we're separated, you know, from the natural world. We're trying to reconnect people with the natural world and realize that, you know, we're all part of the same planet. We're all part, you know, we should be one. Everything's interconnected. And, you know, if you forget that, then, you know, you forget that at the peril to mankind. So, you know, that connection is what we're after. And I think if you watch the series all the way through, you will see that, you know, writ large across the whole series. You know, we are part of nature, and nature is part of us.
Serengeti, Discovery Channel's newest nature miniseries, narrated by Oscar Wendell Peter Nyong'o. It premieres Sunday, August 4th, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on the Discovery Channel. Don't forget to check your local listings for where the network is available in your area on cable and satellite. And for more details about the program online, here's where you go, www.discovery.com. That's www.discovery.com. Serengeti, Sunday night, August 4th, 8 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. John Downer, Emmy-winning producer, director of Serengeti, thank you again for joining us. Good luck with this program and everybody involved, along with Simon Fuller, American Idol fame, and we really appreciate you taking the time.
It's been a pleasure. Great to be on the show. Thank you.
You're very welcome, John. All the greatest. Take care.
Cheers. Bye.
John Downer, producer, director of Serengeti on the Discovery Channel, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow we tell live, including our classic trivia question coming up, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. The newest Star Wars book is out. We're talking about the book in the series, Thrawn. It's book number 3, and it's called Treason. And you can catch it by Timothy Zahn if you are a new subscriber to Audible.com. That's right. It's one of the books you can get right now, the free 1 month trial run with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and certainly inspiration. Over 180,000 titles to choose from, including a growing catalog of Audible originals, original audio productions, off-Broadway, Broadway, and regional theater from around the country and the world, and original one-man, one-woman shows. And you know, you can hear these productions on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get 3 audiobooks, 2 of them Audible originals, 1 month trial, and great customer service from the fine folks at Audible's parent, Amazon.com. So what are you waiting for? Whether you're a Star Wars fan or not, get out there and give Audible.com a go and hear for yourself how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. Remember, it's 3 audiobooks, 1 month trial, customer service, and a lot of great audio listening for your super pleasure. That's audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tsunami Televised. We have a program all about the tomb. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, usually 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. We have an extra episode for you today. So we can get John Downer on from Serengeti. And coming up, we have our classic trivia question of the week, so stay tuned for that. And remember, on Friday, we will have the first of 2 segments spotlighting the first ever TV pilot showcase next Tuesday night here in New York at the annual Asian American International Film Festival. We'll have not one, not two, but 3 of the pilot makers on Friday's show in the first half hour, and the co-producers of another on Monday's episode. Also on Friday, we'll showcase what smart TV sets and smart TV guys are up to, and are you the public using those features? We'll find out from Hub Entertainment Research co-author of a new study, consultant David Tice. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow We Televise. And if you have a smart TV set, or you know someone does, have them tune in. This could be a very exciting segment for them in terms of how they can use their smart TV set or device better. Remember, if you want to catch up on episodes you missed, including our episodes about all of July, which wraps up our 12th year on the air, go to our homepage daytime. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, we're available 24/7 on podcasts at iTunes, Apple TV, the Speaker Podcast app, and iHeartRadio.com's podcast network. Just go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow We Televise in the search bar, click and you're in. When we come back, our classic trivia question of the week, and a salute to someone very special in the ballroom dance world. That's all coming up after you pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're connected to the best internet radio in the galaxy, www.blogtalkradio and speaker.com. Together, more than 35 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Blog Talk Radio and Speaker, your home for Thursday Night Thunder. Check out the wonderful world of auto racing with Adam Sinclair. Tomorrow and every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, it's Thursday Night Thunder, exclusively on Block Talk Radio and Spreaker. And the best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to more of Tomorrow Tell Live. In the second half hour, Simon Applebaum with you live from New Weber, New York, 8 degrees at the top of the hour. And right now, let's get to our classic trivia question of the week. We posed it for the first time on Monday. We're looking for our latest trivia winner in a row. And if you are first with the correct answer, you will get a pair, speaking of Serengeti, of two, not one, but two magnet dioramas based on Serengeti, which will premiere on Discovery Channel August 4th, and the program guide for the third season of Mr. Mercedes, premiering in September on the AT&T Audience Network, available on DirecTV and also on AT&T Jubert systems all over the U.S. of A. Here's the question. Name the 1969 ABC Variety Hour hosted by Dean Jones. Name the 1969 ABC Variety Hour hosted by Dean Jones. Two clues. It's a question, and the title has five words. Five-word title in the form of a question. And incidentally, there may be a second title for this. We're checking out to see if that, in fact, is the case. So anyway, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If you're first with the correct answer, you win. Simple as that. If you missed the question a moment ago, don't worry. I'll post it tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter at UBTSimonTWBT. That's UBTSimonTWBT. In order to win, be in. And all the very best. And now before we leave you today, a final tribute. As some of you who are veterans of hearing this program might know, when I'm not covering the world of television, I love to ballroom dance. I love to do flamenco. I've done ballroom dancing for over 25 years and flamenco for about two decades. And there are certain people that I love dancing with that you just love them because they come to the table with humor, great talent, fun, joy, and passion. I'd like to tell you about one of those people. Her name is Susan Rollins. Susan, if the name is familiar, the last name is familiar, as I believe her father is Jack Rollins, the former manager for many years of Woody Allen. I met Susan when I was doing lessons at Stepping Out, the wonderful ballroom dance studio over on West 26th Street between 6th and Broadway in Manhattan. And instantly you could tell she was just someone who was fun, engaging, great sense of humor, and ready to get up and go and dance with you. And I see her all over the place. She would be at Midsummer Night's Swing in Lincoln Center. She'd be at other dance places. In recent years, she would do dance performances at Dance Sport, first on 34th Street, right near the Empire State Building, and more recently, over on 39th Street, between 7th and 8th Avenue. Susan was always a pleasure to dance with, someone to really enjoy and have fun with, and really amazing. And in recent years, Susan was having that fun and being with people and being great, despite the fact she was dealing powerfully with cancer. And at one point earlier this year, Susan had paralysis, so much so that she had to really once again learn to walk. And she did so with some very intense physical therapy. In fact, she recently performed a few months ago, got that therapy to well enough to dance again, and did a nice performance that you can see pictures of on Facebook. And that's why what I have to say in the next moment is very sad. Because last night, I learned, along with a lot of Susan's friends in the ballroom dance world and in the work world, that she passed away losing her battle with cancer. A battle that lasted 6 years yesterday morning. And let me tell you, her Facebook page has been loaded to the rim with wonderful tributes, testimonials, and just authentic thoughts of this incredible person. She was just a joy. She was a treat. And anyone who knew her will tell you that she loved dance, she loved being around people, and she used her love of dance not only in performances, but also as a regular teacher in the excellent Dancing Classrooms program, which teaches thousands of public school students not only dance but be great people as they grow up in public schools, not just here in New York but all over the country. I don't know yet when the funeral service will be, but whenever it takes place here in New York, I can promise you that many, many, many people will be at her side when the eulogies take place. Susan was a joy, a huge joy, and she will be, and I know it sounds cliche, but take it from me, profoundly missed. So deep condolences to her family and her many, many friends. And one thing you can take to the bank for sure, that as we speak, Susan is truly dancing with the stars. Again, thank you to John Downer from Serengeti for being with us today. Remember, Serengeti is going to be happening on Sunday, August 4th, 8 p.m. Pacific time on the Discovery Channel. Coming up Friday on Tamapi Televised, our third episode of the week, first half hour, the first of two parts, dealing with the TV pilot showcase at the American Asian American International Film Festival next Tuesday night. We'll have three of the TV pilot makers on Friday in the first half hour. We'll have the co-producer of another one on Monday's episode. And then also on Monday, on Friday, we'll have Hub Entertainment Research Consultant David Tice, co-author of a brand new study about how people are using smart TV sets and devices and how they might if they knew those features were available in their sets and devices. If you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, we're available 24/7 on podcasts, iTunes, Apple TV, Speaker Podcast app, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network at iHeartRadio.com. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about today's show? What's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Please email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you get involved in our Class TV Question of the Week. It also gets you involved in a regular feature show to know. Is there a TV show you like that deserves credit that many people should know more about? Well, let me know. We'll give it the credit. You get the credit for the suggestion. SimonApple04@yahoo.com. And I do return emails in 24 hours. Remember, we're also on Facebook and on Twitter. UBC Simon, TWBT is my Twitter handle. That's UBC Simon, TWBT. Over 700 followers on Twitter. Remember, we love hearing from you because what you say truly matters. Absolutely. These expressions of this program are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and iHeartRadio. Our production associate at BTR is Candace Williams. Annie Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders of this enterprise are Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow We Televised is brought to you today by Audible.com and Amazon Company, proud development partner of the annual New York Television Festival. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a trio of great audiobooks and a one-month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday. We are back in a little about 48 hours or so. That's Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Remember, whatever you are doing between now and then, please, more than ever, make it safe and make it great. And Susan, rest in peace. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.